time to have a talk with Harold Davison. How are you doing today, Harold?
Well, if you want to know the truth of it, I'm not doing all that well. You probably can tell that maybe I have a cold, or maybe I'm just trying to talk in a different kind of a voice. And I'm sorry to say it is a cold, and where it came from, I'll never know. Usually my wife comes up with one, then I catch it. But I'm ahead of her, and I'll bet $10 bill that she'll catch my cold. Well, the weather, you know as well as I do, I don't have to tell you. It's a great day out there. I'm sitting here looking out the window. Sun is shining brightly, hardly a cloud in the sky, and there isn't enough wind to make a bit of difference. And as I always say about the wind, we can take zero weather if there's no wind. But if the wind is blowing, anything below 40 is disagreeable. It is a real nice day, and as I always say, it'd be a great day to go out and climb a tree, dig a ditch, plant turnips, a real great day for anything. So whether you plan on taking a trip or a hike around the block or anything, at least stick your snoot out the window and get a snort of this fresh air. It really is great. Well, daughter, Trisha's Furniture, Appliance, Carpet Center, whatever you want to call it, seems to be doing okay this morning. There's no football game, of course, in Lincoln, so people are coming in to take advantage of what she has to offer. And she does have a lot of furniture, a lot of appliances, a lot of carpet. And she also has a lot of peanut clusters. It seems funny to be mentioning peanut clusters along with furniture and carpeting, but for 35, 40 years, when I was in the store, we sold peanut clusters much cheaper than they do today. We had one kind. I think they were all vanilla. Now she has vanilla and, well, five different kinds, cherry and different flavors. So you can take what you want. I always say it's a good time of year to save your money. If you've got something kicking around the house you're not using, in the basement, in the attic, in the garage, if it's in usable condition, bring it in, trade it to her, and save your money, or at least save part of your money. That's it. You know where she is. Same place she's been for 50 years. 7 blocks north, 2 east of the courthouse. Well, our trivia contest for this week, where in Nebraska is there a town situated on three rivers? And you want to know something? Thus far, I've had exactly 2 cards. Ordinarily, I get 50, 60, sometimes 100. And I have only 2. And this is your last day, today and Monday before mail time, to get in your card. You mail a card, of course, to Harold Davison, Seward, Nebraska, 68434. Be sure you get the 68434 down, or the card won't get here until next 4th of July. Well, that takes care of it, but we sure would like to have you get your card in. Scribbling books, scribbling book number 4 is now ready for delivery. So if you're looking for a Christmas present for somebody or a present for yourself, here's where you get them. Well, I told you yesterday I was going to have a gentleman on the radio this morning I could interview, and I know I'm going to enjoy it. He and I don't think the same way. Like I said yesterday, if you could find an old rusty beat-up tub, poke a few holes in it and poke some barbed wire, rusty barbed wire through the holes, that's a sculpture. What he always says, in the eyes of the beholder, well, to me it's a rusty tub with holes in it. But I'll let him do a little talking. Your name is what?
Reinhold Pieper Markshausen.
Reinhold? That mm-hmm. sounds Reinhold. Like a good Irish name.
It's a good German name. I was named after a famous theologian by the name of Reinhold Pieper, and my father wanted me to become a minister, so he called me Reinhold Pieper.
Well, that didn't help.
I disappointed him, I think.
Where were you born, anyway?
In Minnesota, way up in northern Minnesota. It's actually the least integrated town in America, according to a survey that I saw.
What's the name of it?
I can't think of it.
Yes, you can.
No?
New Ulm.
Near Burgess, way up there.
You told me New Ulm a while.
Well, that's where I was born up in northern Minnesota, but I lived most of my life in New Ulm, right?
Okay.
But I was born up north.
See, I know about New Ulm.
What do you know about it?
All a big polka band.
That's right. Whoopi John and his... It is band, and the Fez Fritchie is from there. They have about 20 polka bands.
I wonder why.
It's a real German town, and you can go shopping in German almost any store, even today.
I thought polka bands were Czech.
Could be. Could be. I don't know.
Anyway, a lot of bands originated up there.
Yes, yes.
Tell me how in the world you ever got from New Ulm, Minnesota to Seward, Nebraska, and Concordia.
In 5 minutes?
I'll give you seven.
Okay. I was drafted in the service, and I spent my service in the Philippines. I was part of the invasion of Leyte in the Philippines, and went through all that. And so I was eligible for some schooling under the GI Bill. And so I had 3 years of schooling coming, and I always wanted to be an artist, but I just never really got around to it. And instead of becoming an artist, I had a paint and wallpaper store in New Orleans, Minnesota. My father was a Lutheran minister, and so he didn't think that artists were real people. But I made him very happy when I decided to open up this paint store, which I closed when I went into service. And so art is something I always wanted to do, but never got around to it. So now I had this opportunity to go to school, and I did go to, 10 days after I was out of the service, I was in Chicago, enrolled in an art school. And the first day in art school was maybe one of the best days of my life, when I could finally do what I always wanted to do, and that is to paint. That was just an incredible experience.
Oh, what do you paint? Scenery? Or?
Yeah, I did scenery, and when I first started out, I did a lot of watercolors, mostly watercolors.
Watercolors?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And went to various schools and studied art and bummed around. And then, of course, I had to decide what to do with my life. And I didn't know what to do. I wanted to go to Paris or New York. But I hitchhiked around the country a lot. Since I was single and I liked to paint, I just got my little paint box and get on the road and put out my thumb, and I went down to New Orleans, lived in the French Quarter for a while, and just traveled around the country and just did watercolors. You know, I was just a hobo for quite a few years.
I take it you've been around.
I've been around, yeah. So that's what I was doing, and I didn't really know where I was going.
Yeah,
and so
how you ended up insured.
So in a way, the Ford Times magazine is a little magazine that used to be put out by the Ford Motor Company, and it's a little advertising gimmick, and they have a lot of stories in there about places to visit when you're on vacation, and they have a lot of watercolors in there of these places. And so I got a hold of this once, and I looked at those watercolors, and I thought to myself, well, I can do paintings like that. So I sent some slides to the Ford Motor Company in Detroit. I said, I like your little magazine, and I can do paintings like that. And he wrote back a couple of days later and says, I looked at your slides, and you're right. I like your paintings. In fact, somebody wrote a story about Sauk Center, Minnesota. Why don't you get in? You're single and stuff. Why don't you go to Sauk Center and do some paintings at Sauk Center? So I hitchhiked to Sauk Center, Sinclair Lewis's hometown, and I told the newspapers I was doing paintings of their town. And I spent a week there doing these paintings. And then I sent about 17 paintings to Detroit. I said, well, here are the paintings I made. And they picked out one and bought five of these, which were published.
Those pictures in that book, are those? Did you paint those?
I painted these, yeah. This is Main Street, you know, Sinclair Lewis is Main Street.
You're pretty good, aren't you?
Yeah, this is a farm.
I
went out to this farm to do the paintings, and the farmer said, I'll get the cows. So while I was painting, he went way out of the field to get the cows so I could put them in there. Of course, I had them in there already by the time he got the cows there. And then these are some places. And it was published, and it got around. And so when one day Fearbringer talked to one of the faculty members and said, you know, I think we ought to start an art department here. You know of any Lutheran artists? And this guy from the music department said, you know, I was down at a barbershop, local barbershop, getting a haircut, and I looked through a little magazine called Four Times, and there's some watercolors in there. In the back, there's a little picture of the guy, and he's a Lutheran. And that's how they found me, in this magazine. The president wrote me a letter. I was living, I ate one meal a week. I lived in this basement of this apartment. I didn't know where my life was going. I got a letter from Seward, Nebraska, with this job offer, and I tore it up. I tore it up because...
What year was that?
1951.
1951?
I don't know.
Okay. You tore the letter up, then
I tore the letter up because it was so funny. You know, art in Nebraska? That was my first thought. Art in Nebraska? This is a hoax. Somebody's playing a joke on me.
We had Indians out here.
I was ready for Paris, you know. But in a way, I tore it up, and I never thought about it anymore. About a week, a couple of weeks later, I got another letter and said, we sent you a letter a couple of weeks ago. It must have got lost in the mail. That had to be the most spiritual moment in my life. I sat down and cried like a baby. I thought, my gosh, here somebody was trying to show me where to go, and I was putting it down. And it was maybe the most moving experience I've ever had. And anyway, that's the story. It's an incredible story.
Well, when did you come to Seward, Nebraska to paint Indians?
To paint Indians.
Isn't that what you came for?
No. I came here to teach here at Concordia College.
Well, what year was that?
1951. Yeah. So Professor Brandhorst was teaching art. He was a biology instructor, and he was teaching art, and he was doing a good job. But the school was growing, and also they had plans to build an auditorium, a brand new auditorium, and underneath the auditorium they were going to put a new art department and so forth. And so they were looking for an art person. I mean, not that they didn't have art here, it's just that they were going to enlarge that program, and so they were looking for a person like me, and that's how it all kind of fit together. And so how long did I stay?
Yes, you're still insured.
Yeah, I'm retired now.
I retired
last year. Last year.
Did you carry a full load?
I shouldn't say that. The last couple of years, I was just teaching part-time. But it was mostly a full load. But it was interesting. There was no...
I want to know how many years that was. I haven't found out yet how long you've been here. From 51, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you retired in 92?
Yeah, 90.
90? Well, that's 40 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, 40 years. I've been here 40 years.
And you not only paint... But you did something, I believe, in the state capitol, didn't you?
I did some mosaics. And when the state capitol was built, they didn't finish it. And so there were some places that needed to be finished. There had to be mosaics. And there was an ad in the paper. Anybody who was interested in doing some designs should send them in. And I sent some designs in and competed with 52 artists from all over the world. And out of the 52, they picked out six, and the six competed with each other. And out of the six spaces that were available, I got to do two.
And there's a chunk of tile out of my second building in that mosaic.
That's right. That's
you got about a minute or so. Tell me about the David Letterman show.
What can I say about it?
Well, I saw it. Did you enjoy it?
Well, yeah, it was. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
You've been on it a couple times.
Twice, yeah.
Well, the first time I saw it, he took your musical instruments and threw them out of the
Well, I got along pretty good with him.
You didn't offer to smack him in the snoot?
Oh, no, no, no.
You haven't got a chance yet to get your charming wife in.
Doris.
How did you meet this fellow?
I was a student. He was a prof. There were lots of bachelor professors in those days, and I guess this isn't a real big community, and I guess they were all out shopping. A whole handful of them found wives in their classes.
In other words, you were a student, and he was your instructor.
That's right.
And since that time, you've been instructing him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, and I realized that I had a full-time job. I was getting a monthly pay, and so I said, I'm ready for marriage. So I started dating students, and that's how I met her at the snack bar.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have you back. You barely got started.
I know, because Doris has some stories to tell, too.
Well, we'll have
Doris back then.
We'll have you back, too, one of these days. I know there's a lot you have to tell. That, of course, was Reinhold Marxhausen of Concordia College, and Concordia are celebrating their 100th year next year, and we're going to have somebody from over there every Saturday, and we sure want this guy back. That does take care of things. A little old clock on the mantle striking 11 o'clock. That does mean dinner time to Davison's, and I will be seeing you folks come Monday. Bye now, and have fun, everybody.